Remorse, sorrow, and, it seems, a fair whack of ignorance. Mel Gregg and Michael Christian, the Today FM broadcasters who are at the centre of the prank call that got through to a nurse on duty at the Duchess of Cambridge's hospital ward last week, have broken their silence. They have spoken to commercial television today. Now, up until the death of a nurse who took the call, the two had been trumpeting this prank call and describing it as, well, a career highlight, really. And tonight, in their first interviews since the death of the nurse, Jacinta Saldana, and since that was reported, the pair have said they were gutted and that they're incredibly sorry for all that's happened.
Shattered, gutted, heartbroken, and obviously, you know, our deepest sympathies are with the family and the friends.
Of course, they would be. But they're also unable to describe the process for vetting these sorts of calls and making decisions about whether or not they should go to air.
What are the guidelines here at Today FM for prank calls, for, you know, where you draw the line in the sand on what's acceptable and what's unacceptable? Have you been told?
It's not up to us to make that decision. We just record it and then it goes to the other departments to work it out. I don't know what they then do with it. We just do what we do, which is make those calls.
There's a process in place for prank calls or anything that makes it to air, and, you know, that's out of our hands. This was put through every filter that everything is put through before it makes it to air. So, you know, we made the phone call and then that was it on our behalf.
And that's pretty much the tone of the interview. They were not able to name exactly what those filters were. Do you think that's fair enough? Do you think they should know? Do you think they should be involved? Is it their fault if they're not? Or is it more about management? I'm joined now by Jonathan Holmes, the presenter of Media Watch on ABC One. Jonathan, what do you think?
I think it was kind of bizarre interview in that respect, Waleed. I think you put your finger on it. Okay, they're young, they're relatively inexperienced, although they've both been in radio a long time on other stations, if not on this one. You'd think they would at least have some familiarity with the commercial radio code of practice. It's not a long or complicated document. It's an awful lot simpler than the ABC editorial policies, let me tell you. And Code of Practice 6 has only got one clause. Let me read it to you. A licensee must not broadcast the words of an identifiable person unless A, that person has been informed in advance, or a reasonable person would be aware that the words may be broadcast, or B, in the case of words which have been recorded without the knowledge of the person, that person has subsequently, but prior to the broadcast, expressed consent to the broadcast of the words. Now, in other words, you've got to get consent at some point before you broadcast. I would have thought that anybody who makes these prank calls for a living should know that rule. And, you know, that's why you hear so often on these prank calls at the end of it, that, as Wendy Harmer's been saying today, there's that ta-da moment, you know, the leap out from behind the bushes moment.
Mm.
You know, it's Charlie Darling from wherever, you know, it's a hoax call. And at that point, the victim is supposed to say, oh, no, not Charlie Darling from wherever. Oh, gosh, you mugged me. You really had me there. And Charlie says, ah, but, mate, you don't mind if we broadcast this, do you? And the good sport who's been victimized says, no, oh, well, you know, you got me for a mug, but go ahead. Now, that's what you need to do before you broadcast a hoax call.
Well, I suppose that in the case of these DJs, what they could argue is, we may not know the specifics of the code, but it's the way the organisation's structured is that it's not our decision. It's to be made by people who do know, and they're the people who are to be held responsible. Now, they won't tell us who those people are, and indeed...
Look, that's absolutely right, Waleed. Of course that's true. I mean, absolutely, I think it's management issue, not their fault. But I think it's kind of fascinating that they're not even aware of the rules, that their own station, like every other commercial station in this country, is supposed to subscribe to. I mean, they actually drew up these rules, you know. It wasn't imposed by the government. And you'd have thought that part of their basic training would be to be aware that they can't broadcast it until and unless they've got consent.
Is there any reasonableness argument here that they've made all reasonable attempts to get consent?
Well, we're told that the station tells us that they called the hospital several times after this event to try to get... But goodness knows why they called them. I mean, there was no possibility that the King Edward VII Hospital was going to say, oh, yes, hoax call, that's fine, you guys put that to air and, you know, broadcast the private details of one of our patients, even if she is a royal patient. I mean, there's no way that was going to happen. They were never going to get consent to this. And so that's my problem with it. I mean, when I first heard it, like a lot of other people, I thought it was pretty funny and pretty harmless. And I certainly don't want to pile more blame on these two kids, if I can call them that. But I find it fascinating that this station, which has been so much trouble already with ACMA, doesn't even sort of lay down the basics with the people that are doing these hoax calls. Because the thing is, as they kept saying in that interview, and I'm sure that's right, they didn't expect to get through at all.
Well, actually, can I just pick up on that point? Because there was an interesting exchange in the interview where they were kind of asked who the joke was on. This is how it went. Mm.
The joke 100% was on us. The idea was never, let's call up and get through to Kate or let's speak to a nurse. The joke was, our accents are horrible. They don't sound anything like who they're intended to be. And the joke...
The entertainment value was in us. It was meant to be in our silly accents. That's where it was meant to end. It was just meant to be us being silly, getting hung up on.
It sounds to me, Jonathan, that they were just so caught off guard, so caught completely by surprise, that they were discombobulated. And perhaps
I'm sure they would ask consent. Yeah, I don't think they expected to get through. I think they were totally kind of amazed that they did. And you can hear the nurse at the other end was also discombobulated by the thought that she was speaking to the Queen. Mm. And I think that threw her normal judgment, so that even these ridiculous remarks about, I've got to go and feed the corgis, didn't warn her that she was being hoaxed. You know, she had it in her mind that she's speaking to the Queen of England, and she couldn't think past that. So there was discombobulation on both sides, absolutely. But nevertheless, you know, what fascinates me is that Austereo, not these two guys, but the Austereo, you know, with its lawyers and whatever, sat on this, had a look at it, thought about it, and still put it to air when they didn't have consent. And the only excuse I can think they may come up with is they'll say, but the clause says an identifiable person. And these people, we didn't identify them. They weren't in Sydney. They weren't local to our audience. So no one would know who they were, so it's okay.
Now, you say that, or you make the point that Today FM is a station that has had its run-ins with ACMA in recent history, and that for that reason you're astonished that they've done this or not been more careful about putting this to air or not putting it to air. This, of course, now, triggers a big debate about self-regulation versus other forms of regulation that are outside the industry. Doesn't your observation there suggest that self-regulation clearly isn't doing the trick if a station isn't responding?
I mean, commercial radio, like all radio and all television in this country, is not really self-regulated, not in the way that the newspapers are. The ACMA, ACMA, is a statutory regulator. And the codes of practice are drawn up by commercial radio stations, or just as the code of practice for commercial television is drawn up by them, and the ABC's editorial policies are grown up by the ABC. But all of those codes are enforceable, if you like, by the ACMA. And so it's sort of it's semi-statutory regulation. And if you keep disobeying the codes, Austereo has already discovered, the ACMA can lay down standards. It can actually make it part of the law to do certain things, as it's done in the wake of the notorious lie detector test. It's now, there's an actual radio standard there about how you deal with children. So it's a mix. But I have to say this, Waleed, I reckon that on its track record, the statutory regulator is not noticeably any better at upholding reasonable standards than the Australian Press Council, which has got no statutory force at all.
Mm. Well, I think there are more chapters to this story, Jonathan, but I appreciate your intervention at this point. We might even speak to you again if it develops further.
All right.
Jonathan Holmes, presenter of Media Watch on ABC One.